Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 8, Text 18. Dhanvantari Bhagavan Prithya Advityat Dhanvabhayad Rasho Nirjita Atma Yagnascha Loka Vajan Jananta Aloganat Krit Krodha Vasya Ahindraha Dhanvantari Bhagavan Prithyadhyat Dhanvabhayad Risho Nirdandatma Gyanascha Loka Avijat Janatat Balo Ganat Krotya Vasu Atindra Dhanvantari Bhagavan Prithya Advaya Dhanvabhaya Visho Atma Yagnascha Loka Abhitat Janatat Krodhya Savad Ahindraha Dhanvantari, the incarnation Dhanvantari, the physician, Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, Patu, may protect me, Apadyad, from things injurious to the health, such as meat and intoxicants, Ivanvat, from duality, Bayat, from fear, Rishab, Lord Rishabdev, Nirjita, Atma, who fully control his mind and self, Yagna, Yagna, Cha, and Kodat, from the defamation of the populace, Avatat, may he protect, Jana Antat, from dangerous positions created by other people. Balaha, Lord Balaram, Ganat, from the hordes of Krotavasad, the angry serpents. Hindraha, Lord Balaram, in the form of serpent Seshanaga. Translation. Purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. May the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his incarnation as Dhanvantari, relieve me from undesirable edibles, and protect me from physical illness. May Lord Rishabhdev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. May Yajna protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. And may Lord Balaram, as Sesha, protect me from envious serpents. Please repeat. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his incarnation as Dumpantari relieve me from undesirable edibles and protect me from physical illness. May Lord Rishabhdev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. May Yajna protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. And may Lord Balaram, as Sesha, protect me from envious serpents. That's a lot of protection. Purport. To live within this material world, one must face many dangers, as described herein. For example, undesirable food poses a danger in health, and therefore one must give up such food. Dumpantara incarnation can protect us in this regard. Since Lord Vishnu is the super soul of all living entities, if he likes, he can save us from abhibhutika, disturbances. Disturbances from other living entities. Lord Balaram is the Sesha incarnation, therefore, he can save us from angry serpents or envious persons who are always ready to attack. It's known that the highest rate of death in Bengal is from serpents. So we have to instruct everybody here about the protection they can have from that. It talks about many things here, and Bhagavatam class is like the answer for insomnia, so I'm going to try to adjust that. There are many points that we don't really look at too deeply, and I tried to go in a little research and find out about these personalities, Dumbatari, a little more in Lord Balaram, and Sesha, Ananta Sesha. And so, about the being protected from the untouchables, the edibles that are in fact in prominence throughout the entire world. Meat, fish, and eggs are everywhere consumed, even in Bengal, by Bengalis. So it's not something new here. So I reflect back on my earliest years when I was force-fed meat. It comes in little jars, Gerber's baby food. You get processed chicken and beef and all kinds of stupid things. I remember at 3 years old, I was able to reject it. I didn't want it. But suddenly it came forced on you, and like everything in Kali Yuga, you get changed by this. So I think here in the Indians in Bengal, you never had to experience all that. But in America, where I came from, I never met a vegetarian until I was about 33. And there's just no scope for it. And everybody that I know, my family, they all are big meat eaters, intoxications. And so one time I cooked a feast. We're passing through, and I cooked a feast for all my relatives and invited them to have a big feast on Janmashtami. So I cooked hamburgers, hot dogs, Italian sausage, and I cooked up this whole thing, meatballs, with no meat. It was all done with gluten and tofu. They got everything now. You go to supermarkets in America, you can get the facsimile, just about everything you can imagine, and it's not meat. So there's no excuse if you got that taste bud in your head. So after the whole feast, I said, you know, you just had a karma-free meal. Oh, I knew there was something different. There's something wrong here. I mean, so they didn't want, they enjoyed the meal, but the karma, oh, no, we don't want to be part of that. In any case, they never asked me, not even one question, except one day we were sitting, I was sitting with these people, relatives and friends, and they asked, why you don't eat meat? Alfred, that was my name. And so I said, well, I don't eat things with eyes and the things that are alive, you know, it can talk back to you. And the burnt flesh is not on my diet. And so, okay, that's enough. We don't want to hear anymore. So, unfortunately, the material world is consumed by all these religious activities. And so from the four regular principles, we enjoy something that's not even heard of in the Western world. And the kavacha, this whole chapter is all about the Narayana kavacha. But we may not realize it or think about it so much, but ultimately, whenever we do the Narayana kavacha every day, it's not as elaborate as described in this chapter, but it's put it on tilak. So when you mark the body with tilak, ultimately you're given protection. And then there is one devotee in Vrindavan by the name of Vishal, an old friend of mine. He had a kavacha. And Prabhupada looked at it and said, what is this? And then one astrologer in Delhi, very famous astrologer at that time, gave him his kavacha. Prabhupada said, no, there's no need for this. You go into the temple and you go three times and all your karma can change. You don't need kavachas, rings and ornaments and decoration. It's just a botheration to the body. So there's no need for this. And when you go into astrology, you get all these rings, you protect different planets, and ultimately the greatest protection. In the bottom of the whole chapter, it goes through all these different ways and means by which we get protected by different demigods, by different incarnations. The whole protective list is very long, very elaborate. And when you do this Narayana kavacha, you can't even do it. It's just too complicated. Remembering all the different incarnations and to address your body in different ways. Very lengthy affair, as we've had the description already. So as the chapter runs on, there's more of this. We get protection from every side. Now Rishabhdev, we hear, is addressed here about the different personalities. Rishabhdev, let me speak a little about him first. I got notes here. Well, first Dhammantari. Dhammantari, as we know, is the father of modern medicine in Ayurveda. And Dhammantari, as we know in the Bhagavatam, he carries the scriptures, and he also, the pot of nectar. And so, in that nectar, it was Mohini Murti was the one that deceived the demons and gave it to the demigods. And so we're also recipients of that nectar by the fact that we take Charitamrita and we just take Mahaprasad every day. He was incarnated at least 200 or 2 billion years ago as the son of the king of Kazi. And he divided the Vedas into 8 divisions. And so that Ayurvedic treatment is like prominent to this very day. There are many people who are very acute in this. One particular person in Vrindavan, I refer to Vrindavan because I was there for 37 years and I got inside the inner sanctum of the ways and means of who lives and what happens in Vrindavan. In any case, one of my god sisters, Gauri, she was very sick and just about ready to leave her body. And so she asked to be placed on the ground, so she'd be like a sadhu, and so we placed her on the ground. And the doctor, Narottam, famous Ayurvedic doctor, he announced to her, you have only 1 hour left. Have you any desires left? And so she looked at him and said, no, and smiled, no desires left. And so 1 hour later, she left the body. But when she was about to leave, I'm holding her deities, and my wife is holding pictures of Prabhupada, and so flashing Prabhupada pictures in front of her, and so she's looking at these pictures of Prabhupada, and looking at her deities, and at that moment, just the flicker of the tongue, she went out. And so it was a very auspicious departure, because she appeared to be very simple in her manifested presence, but when she left her body, we took her to the Jamuna, and the pelican was bouncing, and we were having a good time. Actually, it was a joyous affair. She actually got liberated. And so we put the body in the water, myself and the president. And so then we put her on a pyre, and the funeral pyre started, and the fire consumed her body. But halfway through it, we were walking away, going up back to the temple along the Jamuna, and this dust storm blew up, and this dust storm was so thick you couldn't see a foot in front of your face. Heavy, heavy blast of sandblasting when the wind had blown sand. And so it was her answer to, you know, the kind of person she, the whatever spirit she was taking on, whatever body she got next, was pretty heavy, because she was like a heavy sadhu in disguise. So all these years in Vrindavan, many different personalities came and left, like Hiragana Gummi just left. But to leave in the Dham is so auspicious. And every time I saw a person leave, it happened to be very an exciting moment, that the person always has a smile on his face. Radhapi, Radhakun, so many old friends, they all died with that very peaceful, very solemn, sweet look on their face. And so that's the graduation exercise we all have to look forward to, that at some point we all disappear. And but if we can disappear with a smile on our face, you know, actually there's a benediction awaiting us. And Prabhupada's got that key to the back door. So we just follow the regular principles, chant our rounds, and ultimately we go through that back door. So there's no question or problem about where we end up in the next life. So as Dhamantari continues, there's a very wonderful mantra that protects us from all illnesses and diseases. A short one. Please repeat. Om Dhamantari Namaha. That's it. We're protected. Now we don't have to worry anymore. You can go about your day fully protected and at ease. Now Rishabdev, he was also called the founder of Jainism. Now we know Jainism are these guys that walk around naked with covering their mouth. They don't want any insects to go in their mouth. That's all kind of an offshoot of what Rishabdev started. He was a perfected being. He did great austerity, almost 600,000 years, crores, years, he did penance and austerities. So as a result of all that, he obviously had to make some benefit. So he perfected his senses, and he ultimately is the father of civilization. He's the one that started the whole 64 arts, 72 for men, 64 for women. When we got cheated out of 8 arts, I don't know what they are, but yeah, unfortunate that way. But you got 64, no problem. And so civilization as we know it, it stems from Rishabdev and his preaching, because he's preaching us Ahimsa, what the Jains are all about. But they address him as one of their leaders, one of their founder acharyas. And so his son Bharat, who's Bharat Varsha, is also like worshipped by these Jains. So Rishabdev, doing all these appendices, and he established civilization as we know today, in terms of the politics, farming, introduced farming. And one thing that came out of this farming aspect was the era Ishvasaku is the very prominent era, which turned into Bharat Varsha, which is named after. But that name is all about sugarcane. So he introduced the pressing of sugarcane, so we can enjoy it here most every day here. And so Ikshvak means sugarcane. So that whole civilization must have been endowed with a lot of sugarcane. And so if you drink it here, it's good for your health. And even if you're diabetic, you can still drink it. Another point, Kubera, at the time of Rishabdev's birth, Kubera established Ayodhya. And so that happened, how many, 2 billion years ago. So the time element about Lord Ram, it said the gate of Ayodhya was so high that you couldn't see the top. And so the presence of the different personalities, like in Vrindavan, there's a small footprint of baby Krishna, that big, about a foot and a half long. And so if you double that, so that means Krishna was at least 18 to 19 feet high. If you take that up 7.5 or 8 heads high. And Lord Chaitanya, by his footprint, was about that same size, but in full, it's full size. And so he's 7'3". And what we see on the altar is the actual size of the Pantitattva. That's how big they are. And that's how big, well, we are as big as we are in comparison. So they were like giants in comparison to everybody else at that time. And so it passes on. So in Ram's time, or Lord Shiva, when he lays down, he covers the whole continent of India and most of Europe. So the size relationships of these personalities is something spectacular. And Ram, who knows, if the gateway is so high, you can't see the top. So they were big personalities. And there's a story about one personality who survived the Mahabharata war, and he was seen in Himalayas, Aswatthama, who was like in that height bracket of like 18 to 20 feet high. So the Pandavas were a little bit bigger, and so Bhima was like around 21, 22 feet high. And so these personalities are not to be played around with, for sure. Because Jainism was an offshoot of this whole deal, it's interesting that they walk around naked and they are trying for perfection, but they're not really to make the connection. Because one thing lacking is that you don't do that in public, you know, you try to cover the body, otherwise it's an offense. There's stories about that, people who are rejecting morals and they want to walk around naked, ultimately they get a benediction to stay naked for thousands of years as trees. And so if you want to liberate these impersonalists and mayavadis, like one of our god brothers was doing that in New Vrindavan, chopping down trees, liberating the mayavadis. But that's not the answer. So they do harm to, at least they do harm to no living entity, these Jains. And they cover themselves so they don't hurt any insects. So that's something to be emanated, that we don't kill unrestrictedly. And like in Nepal, I mean, I was just reading the story that I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of buffaloes were slaughtered just before that earthquake hit. So you put it together, it makes sense that there's a reaction coming. And so reactions are pretty heavy, you know, when it shook the whole country, and we heard it, felt it here also. So a simple lifestyle, living very peacefully and follow the regular principles, ultimately the chant of the Maha Mantra takes care of all these kavachas and all the protections that we look for from different deities, different acharyas. Sesha, now that's Lord Balaram, of course, we know. And Nityananda. And so he's holding up the universe with his hoods. He never gets tired. But the background on that, he was doing penance. So Sesha was, he was benedicted. Let me read it here. When Sesha uncoils, that begins creation. When he recoils his hoods, then that's actually the end of the universe. It stops at that time. Now there are a couple more. There's the incarnations of Gwan after Lord Balaram Lakshman and Nityananda, and Ramanuja is a partial incarnation, Manavala, and Patanjali, each of these are partial incarnations of Asesha. He was the eldest of 1,000 snakes, born of Kashyap in Kadru. And the brother is Garuda. Did you know that? And so Asesha and his younger brother Vasuki were king of the snakes. And ultimately, we're doing right now at TOVP, we're making deities or big, huge, they're going to be like 10 foot high demigods surrounding Lord Narsingadeva around the dome. And so, in between, right next to Garuda, is a whole collection of snakes. They're his brothers, but I don't know what happened here because they became very envious. The snakes that were from that period became envious, and he disinherited his whole family line. And so, he became himself, and later Garuda took that position. He separated from his brothers. Also, the Garuda And all these snakes are born from the daughters of Daksha. And it was by the request of Lord Brahma, Garuda did great austerities, and the flesh in his body dried up just like Hiranyakashipu. So Garuda was doing all these great austerities, and ultimately he got that benediction. He has to be able to control his mind. And then, wait a minute, that's not Garuda, it's Sesha. So he lives in Patala. He's a younger brother of Vasuki. Used Mount Maya, Mandara as Kurma's shell for churning. In any case, the city of Tirundanath is a city of Lord Ananta. So Sankarshan, he's still being worshipped there. It's a city of Sankarshan. And so he's the one that was held, that was like told by Lord Brahma after all these austerities to after wanting to control it. That was all he wanted, just control his mind. To hold up the earth is, the universe is not stable, so he's a stabilizing factor. Okay, so I'd like to move into some Prabhupada nectar, because ultimately wherever I go, I'm overwhelmed by these stories of Prabhupada, because I put it all in a big book. One of the most amazing stories of Prabhupada is what I saw myself. We're coming on a morning walk with Prabhupada, and we're a little late, so the party was already walking. They were proceeding along the coast in Los Angeles. There's a park, and so and on that park, just above the water, so Venice Beach, and so Prabhupada is walking in advance of the whole party. The party's behind him, so he's walking so fast. Everybody is kind of half running to catch up with him, and so when I looked, I saw Prabhupada wasn't touching the ground. His feet were moving. He was actually walking, but actually he wasn't touching the ground. And I looked around and nobody else saw it. I don't know why, but I saw it very clearly. And on the beach in Bombay, there were many guys who were following Prabhupada's footprints, but there'd be time when there were no footprints in the sand. And one animal was crawling just under Prabhupada's feet. And so they were going to try to tell Prabhupada, the devotee wanted to tell Prabhupada there's something underneath the feet. But he looked at and that animal crawled by. I don't know what it was. Big something. And so anyway, he didn't leave any footprint there. So he stepped across without touching that living entity. And so Prabhupada had many features which were absolutely outstanding. And one of the moments that very amazing story that takes place in Atlanta. So Prabhupada he's worshiping his picture of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day. So he's making the offering by a conch shell full of water. And so he asked the person next to him was Rupanuga, his bowl. He's offering the water and put it in a bowl. So he asked again, bowl, bowl. And everybody started jumping up and down, hurry bowl, hurry bowl, hurry bowl. So I told that story before. And Prabhupada just shook his head, Malachas, Yavanas, what can you do? And so then he had a conch shell. He had to blow the conch shell. And so it was a very small little conch shell that nobody could blow it. By mistake, they put it on a stand instead of the big one. And so Prabhupada picked up that, and everybody was looking, especially this friend of mine, Radhakun. He says, now this personality, whoever he may be, he's a brand new devotee, he'll never blow that conch shell. So, whoa, 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 three times perfectly. And then he took the water that was not given in a bowl. He took the water and he threw it. And it went from mirror to the camera. And it went directly into a tulsi pot without spilling a drop in between. Then he gets up on the Vyasa Sun. He's playing Radanga. Boom, 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 boom. He tuned it just by playing it. So three miracles in a flash. Within a couple of minutes. And so Prabhupada was like that. I sat next to his profile. I mean, he was given a class. I sat by his right side. And I was told to make the first murti of Prabhupada. And so I was looking at Prabhupada, and I was making a drawing. Now, I'm an old-time portrait artist, so I used to do these pretty quick. And so I looked up at Prabhupada, and I start the drawing. I look up again. He's a different person sitting there. His face changed, his eyes, the color, the shape, texture, everything completely changed, like a kaleidoscope. If you know what a kaleidoscope is, that you turn it and it changes colors and shapes. And Prabhupada's face was like that. And so I kept trying to draw, and every time I looked up at a different person sitting there. And so I finally gave up. And the second day I tried again, it was worse. So then Prabhupada looked over at me and smiled. And you can't capture a spiritual master, don't even try. That was the message that came through. And it was like Prabhupada, I was told, I was a brand new devotee, and I was told Prabhupada knew ESP. You know what ESP is? Extrasensory perception. Means you can communicate thought without words. And, some people can do that. But Prabhupada could do it very well. He knew exactly what your mind had in it, and he knew exactly what a question was going to come out of it before the question was even asked. So he had the answer ready. Just as the mind was formulating these questions, like Rameshwar, he had a wonderful experience. I mean, we owe him great thanks for what he did. He offered so much information that he extracted out of Prabhupada. He had so many questions. Everybody else is kind of toying with Prabhupada and appeasing him. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, yes, you're the greatest. But Rameshwar was asking a whole barrage of questions, one after another. He had it all organized. And on one morning walk that I was on, he asked Prabhupada about the difference between day and sleep and dream state. And so Prabhupada says, the seer is the same. And when he said that, it was so mysterious. That the seer is the same between a day and a night. It means that we're dreaming at night, and those dreams seem very real. You know, like he said, the tiger approaches, it's going to be like a threat. So some people are threatened a lot in their dreams, and I happen to have wonderful dreams. But in any case, Prabhupada said, what's the difference? The seer is the same. What does that mean? That means that we dream longer during the day. It's a dream. This whole thing is a dream. It's an illusion, it's temporary, but actually it's a dream. And a dream state can change just like that. You know, in a minute, as soon as we're self-realized. And so Prabhupada had that in his capacity, that exceed past, present, and future, and it's just a flash. So the time element, there were so many moments when Prabhupada would just sit there and just relishing his connection with the Supreme Lord. We were asking Prabhupada about the topic about Lord Balaram. What does he look like? And so Prabhupada said, well, ask him. Ask Lord Balaram, I mean ask Lord Brahma, you know, if we had that kind of a penetration to the demigods, we could ask and talk to Lord Brahma. So Prabhupada did, and he says, what difference does it make to me to talk to the constable when I can talk to the prime minister? He's talking to Krishna directly. So what does he need with the Lord Brahma, Indra? So when these kirtans happen, it happened in L.A., one uproarious kirtan took place. And Prabhupada was like, he's just making this thing go higher and higher and higher. And standing up and just pushing this thing right to the limit of it broke through the ceiling. There was no more ceiling. There was no more L.A. temple. It was the spiritual world. And so then later, as this thing, uproarious kirtan, just developed and went on and exploded. It was just like everybody was just like floating off the ground. It was like in slow motion, everybody just, just moving and just in synchronized fashion. Like here I see it, it's so nice to see. There's the brahmacharis, the bhakta program. They all dance in a choreography. It's so nice to see that. And the women also in the dancing and the choreography. So, when this thing ended, Prabhupada talked about it. He says, well, you know who came? Who was present and why? This was such a wonderful kirtan. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, Narada Muni. They all came. They all were laughing. Why were they laughing, Srila Prabhupada? Because they were laughing. Because the Yavanas and the he didn't say demons, but actually it meant like that, that they were all dancing because of you, dancing and chanting. I couldn't believe it. Yavanism and Malecha's dancing and chanting like this, it was delightful. They loved it. And so they came on numerous occasions. One time, Narada Muni is a spaceman, and so he came to the, Prabhupada was talking at Conway Hall in London, and it's mentioned that, I think, Mukundan, before Maharaj now, there's a moment when Prabhupada's talking and he's preaching out to an empty audience. There's nobody out there, just a few devotees sitting. So after he says, Prabhupada, we're sorry that we didn't announce it properly. We did, we tried, but nobody came. So what do you mean nobody came? Narada Muni was sitting there. You didn't see him with his suit and tie and a derby hat and his umbrella. He came as an Englishman, you know, dressed up just like an Englishman. And so he would do that. Narada Muni likes to play games, so he likes to put on the disguise of whatever he may be impersonating. So you never know in Vrindavan. Was always in here also. You don't know who's walking down the street, who you're talking to, who you might be passing, temple, and might be dancing and chanting and just completely absorbed. It might be somebody special. You don't know. And so, because you don't know, you give respect to everybody. And so, that respect just passes around and that respect returns. There's a wonderful story related to this, that there was a sadhu and this a monk and a, it was a monk and a rabbi. They may have heard this story. It's an old story, very powerful story, that they were combining thoughts. So the monk and the rabbi were just thinking that there's no new converts. You know, our monastery and our temples are drying up. So we need to have some vigor, something that can, you know, process this energy and get something happening again. Otherwise, we're going to die of extinction. You're going to die out, dry up. So the rabbi said to the monk, well, I don't know about us, but I think within your group, there's Messiah. A Messiah. Well, the monk thought about that. He thought, well, who is that Messiah? Is it Brother John or Brother Paul? Because they're all brothers, the brotherhood. And so that person started thinking like that, and he started cooking, and his cooking turned into prasadam some way or other. And so ultimately, he's affecting the whole monastery. The monastery became very famous and prolific because of all the love and the association took place amongst all the God brothers, real brothers, brotherhood. And so, is it not different than what we have? There's such a wonderful display here that, you know, the love and the affection for the deities and how they're so well maintained and they're dressed so beautifully. And so, and then the energy here in Mayapur and, of course, in Vrindavan is the same idea, that it becomes famous and ultimately it spreads across the entire world. And the glories of Mayapur will spread even faster because of the TOVP going up. I just happened to come here to be involved with that, and we're working out on the first, on the line of the Acharyas and on that whole series. So they're coming up to fruition. We're improving everything that was done in a hurry. And so ultimately we're doing something. What was done before was done very well. But unfortunately in a hurry, they just wanted to manifest something so they could see the whole thing, you know, mocked up. So the mock-up took place some time back, but now we're going into detail, refining things. Then we're starting the dioramas. And we're also doing all these different demigods who surround Lord Nrsingadeva. Then in those panels, that in between the different figures will be different descriptive panels about each of those personalities. And one is the snakes right next to Garuda. I'm doing that now. So Prabhupada, when he came to the doll studio in Los Angeles, Fate Studios, was just in that time flourishing, because we were making the first museum. And it was the hope that Srila Prabhupada wanted a diorama every day turned out. So we have 108 dioramas that are going to be done here. So it'll be just exactly what Prabhupada wanted. And so these dioramas, and one idea that I've been developing, is that now something is happening And there was a talk about this in this conference they had about the content and the art exhibits in the planetarium section in the dome. So with a sit-down show, which will be all, you know, a bunch, certainly a whole bunch of what would be like a virtual reality. Anybody know what virtual reality is? Raise your hand. One, two, three. Three out of everybody. Over here. There's a few. You have a couple handfuls here. And so virtual reality, in any case, is something that takes something which is normal reality, or what we see as reality, or an illusion that ultimately is what we take as through our senses, is perception through the pituitary gland, and perceives everything in just a small fraction of the brain. Whatever we see, we register it in our brain, and it comes back out, and we take that image as reality. So, virtual reality, now where they put on a helmet or cover the eyes and they put on gloves and they feel themselves into a whole different environment. It's a fully dimensional reality. So it's not different than what reality that we perceive without all that on. So the idea is that it's coming very soon now that you can walk into a space or walk through an area or be seen on a show that that's something that you see as a diorama will turn into virtual reality. In other words, a virtual experience is something like presenting Krishna in a hologram. And you can do it now. You can hologram images up to a full-size figure. And one figure they did as a show, as a sample, one very famous singer was on stage singing. She come out, and she's got on stage, and she sang. There's a whole big troop of dancers all around her, dancing and combining with her. Then suddenly, she disappeared. She was a hologram, seen in five different cities. So that can be done. That technology is old already. And so virtual reality and virtual experience is something new coming on. And they're not totally perfected yet, but ultimately it's coming very soon. So that'll be employed. So people, when they take the tour of the upper dioramas, there's three levels above the dome, just below the dome. You got the big, huge chandelier in the middle. Then ultimately on three levels is the whole Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And so that's Gopakumar's adventures as he passes up straight up through to Goloka Vrindavan, taking the different positions as Brahma, as king of Indra, and so many different kingships. So when you go into the different experiences, first will be Vrindavan. It starts and ends there, basically. And so he starts and he's like in Vrindavan, he meets a spiritual master. But you have that environment of Vrindavan. And so you hear the birds and the sounds and the light, the smells, the air is Vrindavan. Of course, it's different now. The smell, the smog, and the pollution is just atrocious. And on Sundays, you can't move there. It's like becoming hellish. In any case, here in this diorama, you'll see the Vrindavan as it was in this pristine, perfect nature. And so then you go into the palace scenes, and you enter into these different scenes, the palace on earth. Then he goes to, you know, when he becomes Lord Indra, Lord Brahma. All that experience will actually be done in virtual reality. That's the idea. And so Prabhupada was very pleased when he came to the Dal studio, and he was looking at the first diorama. I mean, I was supposed to make it, then it got shifted. I made a change of bodies display three times. And my godbrother, who made the Prabhupada Murti, he had a motor underneath it. It was a rubber head, a Prabhupada. And so when he turned on the motor, Prabhupada's head moved up. So Prabhupada's looking at this, and he's looking at himself, a younger version, in a Murti form. And so he turns the switch, and Prabhupada looked up. There's this big smile on Prabhupada's face. He just illuminated, just lit up the whole space. That picture is very famous. And they took a picture of it. And so Prabhupada was very, very keen on dioramas and about the art. And this all goes back to, you know, basically Rishabhdev, the king of the civilization, the beginning of the arts. And so as exponents of art, it's our obligation to carry on. Prabhupada wanted walls that preached. And so when you made a change in body display, it became a big preaching tool. It still goes all over the world. And so preaching is our essence, but the vehicles for that. Now when this TOVP things happens, when it manifests, it'll have a great effect on the whole of civilization. And that's the idea, that we can project the philosophy in such a palatable form that it can be understood by anybody who walks inside and sees or steps foot in this virtual reality. And so he's presenting Krishna as he is. Krishna will talk. He can ask, he can ask, respond. He can have a verbal communication with the Supreme Lord. It's illusory, but actually it's pretty strong, pretty effective. And so all that can be achieved. And the biggest task ahead of us is getting enough artists to do the job. Once the dioramas start, there's 108, and they're all very detailed and involved. So Prabhupada, when he walked through the doll studio, he wanted at least one of these coming out every day. And so instead, Prabhupada got pictures of the artists all working, and then he said, where are the dioramas? And so it wasn't coming out. And so, unfortunately, we were a little bit slow in that regard. In any case, when he toured the studio, another very important moment for me was that I was always in the back looking over the heads. I may have mentioned this, but there's a moment that had happened in the lives of many of the earlier disciples of Prabhupada. And so it happened to me that I was waiting to see Prabhupada. I was about to get on the chair, look over the head of everybody in the crowd. There's a big crowd around Prabhupada having Guru Pooja in the Fate studio. I started to go for the chair, and all of a sudden the whole thing opened up like Moses in the Red Sea, and there was Prabhupada right there face to face. And so he just looked at me with a depth of vision that went penetrating right straight to the core of my heart. It completely scourged reverberation throughout the body. Complete change in seconds. And so many devotees had that. And you can still get that by looking at the Prabhupada videos and his photographs and pray, because when you see a photograph or a video of Prabhupada, or I was told very early in the game that when you ever, if you take a picture of a personality, you capture some of that essence. And so Prabhupada is in his pictures. He's none different in his pictures. He's none different than his videos. And so Prabhupada is there. And he said that. He says, when you have my picture on the Vyasasana, I'm not present. But ultimately, I am present through that picture. So you manifest, if you're doing a diorama or a painting or a sculpture of any of these personalities, we evoke their presence, and they actually are inside that form. And so keep that in mind when we're in front of the deities. They're not stone or metal. They're there. I mean, I experienced in Vrindavan 37 years worshiping Lord Shyamasundar and Radharani. Ultimately, it was a wonderful experience. And there was never a time when I didn't think they were actually there. There's so much presence. And all the deities anywhere are fully present, but ultimately more so because Prabhupada installed those deities. And so here also, I mentioned once I painted the first time Radha Madhava. And so the whole vision opened up about the whole scope of the whole wonderful Mayapur city development. And it's happened. It's already taken place. So I'm going to end there. If there's any, this, we run out of time. But I got many stories next time. Any questions or suggestions?
Hare Krishna, thank you, Guruji. Guruji, I wanted to know that Prabhupada ever mentioned his eternal form, Swarupa, his relation with Krishna.
Say it again.
Prabhupada ever mentioned to you about his eternal form, eternal relation with Krishna, his Swarupa, eternal Swarupa.
I understand. Say it again one
more time. About Prabhupada, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he is a Nan Mani Manjari in the spiritual world.
Sure, Bhakti Siddhanta.
Yeah. In similar way, Prabhupada ever explained his Swarupa?
Well, everything Prabhupada did is just an emanation of what he got from the spiritual master. And that's the story that we're told. That ultimately, whatever Prabhupada gave us is a direct connection with the whole line, the whole parampara. So Prabhupada was you know, the pure devotee and purely following his spiritual master. So the connection is very strong, which comes to us. And one incident that took place in Vrindavan, one devotee got thrown away by, unfortunately, bad association in Vrindavan. And one Baba there said, your line's not bona fide because Srila Bhakti Sanatana didn't take from presence of his guru, took him a photograph. But actually, Sridhar Maharaj and others, they explained that actually it was told that Srila Bhakti Sanatana said he took it from darshan. He had a darshan of his guru Maharaj in the room when he took the sannyas. He gave it to him, sannyas gave him directly from his spiritual master. It wasn't just a photograph, it was a direct darshan that he got it from. So our line is perfect, and if that's what you're asking, the line is perfect all the way back to Krishna, no question. Does that answer that? There's another question back there. You gotta speak loud.
Yeah, as Srila Prabhupada is present in his deity form, is like, as you mentioned, is the video also similar, like should we look at video also on a similar platform as a deity?
Well, I'm making a deity of Prabhupada right now for the temple, and I can tell you already he's there. He's not even half finished, but he's already present. And so the presence of, I've made hundreds and hundreds of Prabhupada Murtis, and they're all over the world. And each one tells a story that when Prabhupada arrives at a temple in Russia, in Europe, wherever he went, on the way, he's sitting there, you know, he's sitting, they ask, because sometimes on the train in India, they take Prabhupada to different places to go south, to go wherever he was installed. And so he's sitting there, you know, on the berth, and they keep asking, when's Maharaj going to speak? So they're taking darshan, and they actually think that he's there, and he is there. And so, but that's the whole idea of worshiping Prabhupada in a deity form, that those murtis are actually a representation of Prabhupada, and he's there. No question about it. When we do Guru Puja every morning, you can feel it. You can feel the energy. Prabhupada is sitting there. And so you're taking whatever you offer, Prabhupada. When this Lord Nrisimhadev appearance happened, and I was outside, and I was heard a voice, come on in. And so I went in, and I had grains in my hand, and Lord Nrisimhadev was asking for the grains. I didn't want to do it. I thought, this is not worthy, and I threw the grains. But anyway, the deities will speak to you. You know, maybe not very loud, but if you're sensitive, you got, you know, Paramatma in the heart, so you're listening. And actually, if you're sensitive, because what that is, that's conscience. So there's many stories about what our conscience tells us to do right or wrong. That's Paramatma. That's, you know, super soul directing our wanderings. And so be it or may as you think, but actually it's there. We're guided from inside and from outside by Guru. Anybody else? We got still another couple minutes if you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gopur Mandi.